Well, good morning. What, aren't the kids wonderful? You know, I could watch them all day long. They're just so pure and so innocent. And that's why Jesus said, you know, if we're going to come into the kingdom of God, we must come like a little child. Amen? Just kind of tone down your maturity and just say, God, I'm just like a little kid. I need to come into the kingdom just with innocence and sweetness and total faith. Amen? Well, a couple of things before we jump into this message today. One, the long-awaited, at least on my part, maybe not yours, but my book, It's Midnight in America, will be released on April 2nd, and we're pretty excited about it. And, you know, they gave us a short deadline to write it, but God came through, and it's already making great headway. And about a week ago, we had Charlie Kirk here with us doing a freedom rally. And then I'll be on his show on April 2nd, and we've got about 20 interviews scheduled over the next 30 days, and I'm sure that number will triple before we get done. So I just really ask your prayers. And the one thing that really hit me when Charlie was here was this, that when we're getting ready to come out, he said, you know, I'm just going to stay in here during the worship time. Really been going through a lot of spiritual attacks in my life. And I could so relate to what he was saying. And as we began to share, there were similarity in that. And then I was talking to a couple of staff members, and they were sharing the same thing. And it was just to see that we're really, there's a lot of warfare going on. And I don't know if you've experienced it. If you haven't, God bless you. That's all I can say. Because I certainly have, and I've been over the last probably 30 days just battling, really just like fatigue and dizziness and vertigo, and some of those same kind of things people are experiencing too. So I really covet your prayers. I really ask you to just be with us as we lead this church and as we move forward with God. And you know, there are seasons for sermons. And this is a season where you'd expect a sermon on with a palm branch. And Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and as the kids so well sang and quoted scripture about. And then there's also situations, seasons and situations. And when the Holy Spirit of God points you to something, even in a season, about a situation, you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So today I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare. I want to talk to you about what's going on in our world, what you can do, and how you can win battles. Even in the middle of struggles and difficulties, even when you're fighting a battle, you can have victory. You can have joy. And sometimes we think we can't have joy and we can't have victory unless everything in our life is going really, really well. But that's just not true. I remind you, it was Paul the Apostle who wrote from a prison cell, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing," and James said it, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And Paul wrote the great letter to the Philippians talking about joy and what God has begun in him, he will bring to completion. So my message title today is Under Attack. If you're not under attack, God bless you. Maybe you need to stir up something and get under attack. Amen? You know, when you cause enough problem in the kingdom, Satan doesn't like it, and he reacts. You know, do you remember the first time you ever had your reflexes tested by a doctor and took that little hammer, hit your knee? And I remember that. I didn't know what was coming. And I gave the doctor a good kick. I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen like that. Well, I want you to know, when you kick Satan, when you thump Satan in the right place, he's going to kick back. But do not be discouraged, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? You may be under attack if some of these things are true in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean you are, but I'm saying you may be. You may be under attack when you have an unexplained sickness. You know, one of our staff members has an unexplained sickness. The doctor can't find anything wrong. And we don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Physically, everything is right. And the amazing thing is, when you begin to pray and you lean into it, that sickness goes away. But sometimes it's not permanent. You know, sometimes your healing is not permanent. Sometimes God is working in you to bring about a greatness of faith in your life. And so you might find yourself sustained, but not fully healed. You might find yourself able to go to the next level, and then you're going to find another setback. Do not be discouraged that because God is still working in the middle of all of that. You may experience, you may be under attack if you have physical fatigue. I've never known a time when more people are just talking about fatigue, and yet their lifestyle and their job hasn't changed. Now, this is a worldwide phenomenon. By the way, can I say this? There's never been a time since I've been a believer where there has been a worldwide attack like the one we're having today. It's happening all over the world. It was introduced largely, I believe, at the pandemic. But there's a worldwide fatigue and there's a worldwide attack going on. You realize there are more Christians being martyred for Jesus today than there were in the first century. You don't experience that maybe on that level. You may experience some kickback and some setbacks, but you don't experience martyrdom like there's going on around the world. You may be under attack when there's an unrelenting and unexplained setback in your life. You look at your life, you look at your business, say there's no reason why this is happening, but maybe it's spiritual warfare. You may experience and be under attack when you feel like God has forsaken you or betrayed you. When you begin to hear these words come out of a believer's mouth, why I just feel like God is not being fair, or God is not blessing, or God has forgotten about me, I'm going to guarantee you, you're under a spiritual attack. Because what brings in doubt is the enemy. What brings in faith is the Lord Jesus. You may be under attack when you have constant feelings of fear going on in your life. Do you realize that fear is an emotion, but it's more than that? It's also a spirit. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So there are spiritual and demonic forces that bring about fear in a person's life. And that fear can be paralyzing. You can say, well, how do I have fear when I love God? Because you're contending in demonic warfare. And that's always going to cause a kickback or a setback in your life. You can be under attack when you have vague and random attacks in your life. There's a scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 where it talks about the fiery darts from the evil one. And if you know something about warfare, back 2,000 years ago, they would light these arrows on fire and they would shoot them, not aim it at a specific target. They're trying to get the other soldiers, the opposing army, to disperse and break rank. And the Romans were really good. They had a leather-covered shield and they would soak it in water before a battle. And they could interlock. And what they would do is when they came up against the enemy, they would interlock their shields, they would kneel down, and they would let the fiery darts fire until they were all out of arrows. Because you see, the aim was not for one soldier. The aim is not for you. It's to disperse those around you, the community you're in, so that you don't have that arm-to-arm brotherhood and sisterhood and fellowship and community where you fight together, you pray together, you love together, you serve together, you are together, amen? You may be under attack when old habits and lifestyles come back. You say, man, I thought I got victory over this. What happened? I'm worse than I was before. That's probably an indication of an attack. Because you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, it says, why do I do the things that I do not wish? I find warring in me another law, another spirit, if you will, contending with me. And so if you're seeing things come back, just say, wait a minute, it's not because you're weak. You were always weak. Do not pat yourself on the back. Think, well, I used to be strong. No, you were never strong. In fact, when you thought you were strong, it was probably when you were the weakest. But if you understand that you've got to come to the end of you so that you get the beginning of him. Amen? You know that you're under attack when you're pulling away from church and godly relationships. I've watched it my whole life. People say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I said, no, and you don't need a garage to own a car. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Jesus Christ died for the church. He didn't die for you to go out fishing and find God in nature. Well, I just find God in nature. Which God are you finding? Mother Earth? You know, it gives me a pain I can't locate sometimes. Let me show you another one. This is a really interesting one. You may be under attack when greed grabs your heart. One of the most interesting comments was made in John chapter 12 and verse 36. And Mary had come and she had broken the alabaster box filled with this precious oil that was super expensive. And she anointed the feet of Jesus before his death. And then she wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. And somebody objected. His name was Judas. And Judas said, why was this money wasted? Could it not have been given to the poor? I've heard all my life people say, well, what do we do with all that money? We ought to give it to the poor. Never quote Judas. Amen? Never quote Judas. Let me tell you something, and the Bible goes on to say there in John chapter 12 that he said that because he was stealing money. He was the treasurer of the disciples, and he was stealing money. You see, when greed comes in, you go like, when you get a selfish heart, you better look, you may be under spiritual attack. You see, we are under attack from demonic forces that seek to destroy our faith, diminish our power, and steal our destiny. They know that their days are limited. You remember when Jesus cast the demons out of a man named Legion, they said, why have you come to bother us before the time? Demonic forces know there's a day coming. They know they can't win, but their hearts are so evil that all they want to do is disrupt the work of God. You see, there's a destiny that God has put on you. There's a plan that God has for you. There's a life that God has for you and your family and future generations, and don't let it be stopped by spiritual warfare. See, they know their days are limited, and they know there's no hope for evil to prevail, and yet they press on. The only force in the world that is contesting Satan's total rule in human affairs is the Church of the Living God. Yeah, you ought to put your hands together for that. If it weren't for the church, we'd all be sunk, amen? You see, if Satan were unopposed, if he were under no restraint because of the Spirit-inspired prayers and holy lives of God's people, unopposed, Satan would turn the world into a living hell. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period. That's literally what happens is the Spirit of God is removed, the restrainer is taken off, and Satan is allowed to run wild for 7 years. That's why I'm not going to be there. You say, well, I think we're going through the tribulation. Well, you tell me how it is. I'll be watching from heaven. Amen? All right. It underscores the magnitude of the battle when you begin to see what's going on, when it's raging all around you. But the church is a beacon of hope. Can I get an amen? It brings joy and hope and power and fullness in the Holy Spirit. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to secure our salvation. He is the giver of hope, the inspirer of hope. In fact, he is the only hope, and the Bible calls him the blessed hope. Amen? All right, now let's get into the message. The source of the attack. The source of the attack. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now that's the thief, that's Satan. But Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life. Are you ready for this? Not just life, but they might have it more abundantly. You see, God wants you to have more than salvation. He wants you to have salvation and abundant life on top of that. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see, the source of the attack is Satan. You might think it's somebody you work with. You might think it's someone who's the governor of a state called California, but that's not the enemy. The real source of the battle is coming from evil. And whatever's manifesting itself and how it's manifesting itself, you're not wrestling. If you try to use human reason to win the battle, you'll never win. I was talking to someone this week, and we were talking about what's happening in our world and politics and all that kind of stuff. And I said, listen, I believe everybody ought to vote and vote right, okay? I believe that. But let me tell you something. Unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. You see, it doesn't matter who votes or who counts. It matters what the Lord is doing. We want to be in tune with what God is doing. Amen. We want to trust in the Lord with all of our strength. Don't rely on our own wisdom or our own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him that he might make our path straight. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion." Not exactly encouraging, is it? Until you understand what a roaring lion is. The roaring lion is actually the old lion that is incapable of fighting. And what the lions do is they'll station the oldest lion to roar, and then all the animals, all the prey, will run away from the roaring lion into the hands of the enemy, into the young lions. So when he's telling us this, he's saying, do not be distracted by the diversion that Satan brings into your life, and it forces you into the enemy's hands in a deeper and more difficult place that you could find yourself. He says he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Do you remember in the Bible, it says that Job, in the book of Job, God asked Satan, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro across the earth. In other words, I've been looking for someone I can attack. Now, God was a name dropper on that day. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to drop my name in that context. Amen? Just forget about me, Lord. Just go find somebody else. All right? Amen? Have you considered my servant Job? Now, why did he do that? Because God had a purpose for Job, and it wasn't suffering. It was to bring Job to the place of deeper understanding of who God was. You see, everybody misses what Job's all about. Every time you go through a bad day, you say, I'm Job. Man, I hope not. You sit in darkness and scrape the boils off your skin for 7 days. You lose everything you have. But you know what the purpose of Job was? It's told us in chapter 42, the last chapter of the book of Job. And God looks at Job, and he looks at his friends, and he says, you have not spoken that which is true, as has my servant Job. And then Job says this, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. You see, Job knew about God, but he didn't know God. The Bible says he was the most righteous man in the land of the east. You know where the east was? Sodom and Gomorrah. He was lived the same time as Abraham. You know who the most righteous man on the earth was? It was Abraham. It wasn't Job. In the east, Job stood out. Worldwide, he didn't have a clue. But when it says, then it says, when Job prayed for his friends, God restored the fortune of Job fourfold. You see, Job had some attitudinal problems. He had some understanding problems, but God was going to work that out. Do you realize sometimes in spiritual warfare, God is bringing you into perfection in terms of righteousness, holiness, and commitment? See, we always focus in on our comfort, and God is always focused in on our holiness and our purity and our righteousness before him, because he's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. See, you weren't made for time. You were made for eternity. What if you lived a problem-free, comfortable life and you lived 100 years? It'd be pretty good. Unless you had nothing to show for it in eternity. You're rich on earth and you're bankrupt in heaven. And that's exactly what the Bible says can happen. It says here, resist him. Who, Satan? Resist him. Resist him. Be steadfast in the faith. You know what steadfast in faith is? I refuse to doubt. I don't care what comes up again. I'm not going to doubt. But it seems like God hasn't really been taking. I'm not going to doubt. I may not like where I am. I may not understand where I am, but I refuse to doubt. I'm going to be stubborn in my faith. Can I get an amen? You have to be stubborn. If you don't, you're going to roll over and you're going to give in and you're going to fall under an attack. He says, be steadfast, knowing the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You ever heard this out of somebody? Man, I don't think anybody's ever gone through what I've gone through. Really? I got like, when people tell me that, like I said, I got like 20 people I could just name off the top of my head right now that have gone through worse than you have, and they're not even bellyaching about it. They're firm in their faith. Be firm in your faith. Now, let me show you the force that you possess. You see, you got to have a resource to fight against the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the weapons of our warfare. Now, I want you to notice something here. There's a word there that's spelled O-U-R. Can you say that word with me? Our. The weapons of our warfare. You have to embrace the weapons of warfare. They have to become your weapons. They're not physical. That is, they're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Okay, so what's happening here? Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, it's possible for you as a believer to have a spiritual stronghold in your life that's keeping you from where you want to be. And the Bible says that you have to break those down, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, because most of our warfare is happening right here. We're battling right here. I mean, you hear what you say to you some days? I don't like what I say to me some days. I'm going, Phil, get a grip here, dude. Amen. It says they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God. You see, the most convicting words in that verse are our warfare. There is no hope for you to ever have mighty weapons until you say, this is my war. When you say, I'm not in a battle, I'm not under attack, when I'm not out here fighting, you're already losing. Only those who admit that they are in a war, that they are soldiers, will be considered for the mighty weapons of God. Man, I was driving over here this morning. I said, God, I need mighty weapons. I don't think I have enough yet. I need to be strengthened more. I need more weapons in my life. You know, this Friday, we're going to have a Good Friday service, but the centerpiece is going to be healing. You know, we did this a number of years ago. We had a healing, and we weren't prepared for it. We weren't prepared for how many people showed up and wanted to be prayed for. And I can remember I was standing right over there. We had this whole worship center kind of rearranged for that night, as we will on Friday night. And I was standing over there, and I thought we'd have 5 or 10 people. And after about an hour of praying with people, over 100 people, I said, man, I am ill-equipped for this. I need more weapons in this. I need more area. I need more strength in this. I need more wisdom in this. And I really believe that God is, you know, the miracles that we've seen, they just keep coming. Just because you don't hear about them doesn't mean they're not happening in our building right here. I hear about it every week. Somebody's healed. Something's going on in this place. That prayer wall out there, if you've not been there and spent some time at it, there's over 100,000 prayer requests on that wall. The only deficiency in it is we don't know when prayers are getting answered unless you tell us my prayer was answered. And then I hear that and I go, boy, this is great news. So if God's healed, worked a miracle, you know, tell us about it. We want to rejoice with you. You know, part of the force you have is your testimony. Your testimony. Do you realize that no one can diminish your testimony? They may not like your church. They may not like Bible, but they don't know what to do when you tell them, look, all I can tell you is this. I once was lost and now I'm found. All I can tell you is I know God now. I didn't know him before, but I know God now. What do you do with that? There's nothing to do with that. Well, listen to what it says in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Do you realize there's an unbroken trail of blood that begins in the book of Genesis and runs all the way through the Bible? When Adam and Eve sinned, you remember what God did? They covered themselves with fig leaves. That was man's way to try to cover up what they thought was the problem. And it says in the Bible that God sacrificed an animal and covered them with those skins. That word cover there is the word kapar. It's the same word atonement. God atoned for their sins through the shedding of blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Do you realize when you get to the book of Revelation chapter 12, it says that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Before you had a sin problem, mankind had a sin problem, God had a provision. It was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It's always been the way. That's why when John, in John's gospel, when he looked and he saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, they knew what the Bible taught. They knew that that lamb that was sacrificed in the Jewish temple was only a picture and a type of the coming Lamb of God that would die on a cross at Calvary, be buried, and raised from the dead after the third day according to the scripture. And it's only by the blood that we are sealed, only by the blood that we are healed, only by the blood that we are saved. Can you say amen to that? Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 21. Jesus said, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom. Have you ever said, I don't know what to say? Look what Jesus said. I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. God, I don't know what to say. Well, that's good. Let me tell you what to say. Amen? I mean, we've all been in that time. I don't know what to say. God says, I'm going to give you what to say. Look what it says in Isaiah 49, 2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Wow. All right, now let's look at the course. Where are we going with this? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now watch what he's showing here. He's saying, I once was over here in darkness. God plucked me out of the darkness and he transferred me into a different kingdom, the kingdom of God. I once was over there, now I'm over here. And it says that he delivered us from the power of darkness. So darkness was over here. It was coming against me. I didn't know where to turn, where to go. I thought maybe there was a God, but I didn't know him. God says, I'm going to pluck you out of that darkness. I'm going to put you in the kingdom of light. And I want you to know it's in love that I do that. And it's by the redemption of the blood that you have the forgiveness of sins. You know, when I was first saved, the one thing that I did know, I didn't know much about the Bible. I'd read a little bit of it, but I knew I was forgiven. When you're a new Christian, that's about all you really know. I just know that Jesus loves me, died on a cross, and forgave me. You don't want to stop there, but I'll tell you what, it's pretty good to know that you're forgiven. Isn't it good to know that you're forgiven? Have you embraced that? As a believer, have you embraced that you're really forgiven? Everything past, present, and even your future sins are forgiven. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. He disarmed principalities and powers. When you take the weapon out of the enemy, you take the power out of the enemy. It says he disarmed the enemy, the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over it. So he says, when I disarmed them, I triumphed over all the enemies of God. So what do? Here's the first thing you do. I got to renew my mind. I have to start thinking the right thoughts about God. If any of those things we talked about early, and by the way, I just want to remind you that all the notes that we give you, they're on the app. They're there before I even preach. You can go and you can follow along with us. So you say, I wish I could remember what he said. I have those days too. Amen. But renew your mind. God, I need my mind renewed. I need to think the thoughts of God. I need to meditate on you. I need you to be first place in my heart, in my life. Secondly, I need to understand the power of praise. The power of praise. You know, a lot of us have some time where we're in a car, we're commuting. Maybe it's 10 minutes, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's longer. If you're on the 91, it's longer, amen? But don't waste that time listening to mindless radio. Well, I enjoy that program. You might enjoy it, but it's not doing you any good. Well, I like to listen to news when I'm on. Well, you know what? It's the same stuff.
Turn it off for 6 months, turn it back on, you'll hear the same stuff. But if you put on messages or books that are going to edify you, or if you put on praise music, the great thing about being alone in your car, you can sing and no one will object. If you sing poorly, who cares? See, God inhabits the praises of his people. When you just pray, God, I'm just going to praise you. I don't know what's going on. I'm in a mess. I don't know which direction to go. I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. You lift up the name of Jesus. Satan and all the demons of hell hate the name of Jesus. For the Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of. Can you say it with me? The name what?
Jesus.
All right, let's try it again. I think you got more in you than that. Then the name of what? Amen. And the Bible says, praise him. And then make a declaration of freedom. Make a declaration of freedom. I'm going to lead you through that at the end here today. But before we get there, I want you to know these are days of shifting culture and spiritual warfare, unlike any that we've ever experienced as a nation. Do not, however, let the noisy sound and clamor of the hour shake your faith. Your hope and security are not based on man, but on God. You have a divine destiny that the enemy cannot stop. I believe God is arranging resources in your path to ensure your success. If you embrace that by faith, God is going to give you all that you need. You see, it is time for the church to stand in the power of God. Now, I realize this message is probably not going to be preached in any church on Palm Sunday anywhere. Most of them are just going to give you a little palm branch and tell you to go out and, you know, and just greet the Lord. That's good. But, you know, we've got to realize it's time to resist the enemy and declare the authority of Christ in our life. It's time for the church to be the church of the living God. It's time to join hands and let the true church crush the head of the serpent. It's time to protect your children and your children's children from the encroaching evil that seeks to control our nation. It's time to put on the armor of God and stand against the enemy. He's going to come in like a storm, but you're going to stand against him. It's time to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I want you to know it's time to stand. Are you ready to stand? Well, put your hands together. Give him the glory. Give him the glory.